So it's really great to have Susie Merchant. It's been an interesting year for you.
Yes.
Interesting year, starting off and going to Paris.
Yeah, that was wonderful, actually. That was a good way to start the year, for sure. You know, I think our kids had a great experience between Rome, Paris, and London. We were well-traveled, let's say that. And the basketball piece was just such a small part of it. You know, I think if you talk to any of the coaches that have gone or are going to go, I think if you put that in perspective and make that kind of the minuscule part, and as coaches, that's a hard thing to do, and just go enjoy the experience. And we had a wonderful time and appreciated the opportunity very much.
From your experience with the students in being abroad, you didn't get the front page coverage that others are doing, but it really was a path breaking experience. We had both basketball teams doing this kind of trip. What was the learning outcome for the students? What were their aha moments as you saw them traveling and meeting people?
Well, I think, you know, some of these kids, you know, what I enjoyed the most was watching their faces. You know, I know there's probably a third of my team that would never have gone, never have that experience, nor would be able to afford someday to have that experience. You know, and just to see their faces, you know, things they've only read about in the books or seen on, you know, movie screens or whatnot. That was pretty remarkable for them to actually stand in places, you know, that meant something to world history. I think the thing that surprised me the most with the girls, my team, was the trip to Normandy. I wasn't sure how they were going to be, you know. I didn't know if it meant anything to them. You know, it meant something to me. My grandfather fought there, so I know it meant something to the older generation. But to these, you know, 18 to 22-year-old kids, but to see the respect, the true admiration for what happened there, I think was a pretty powerful moment for most of the girls.
You had the opportunity to, listen to Coach Izzo about his experience the year before and then also educate Coach George, as volleyball is getting ready to launch over, the differences in those two conversations.
Well,
taking the personalities out.
Yeah, trying to take the personalities out. Therein lies the problem. you know, Izzo was really more. I liked listening to him because he went over there very basketball driven, and when he came back, he was, I think, surprised himself at like how little that played a part. And, you know, so that really helped me kind of put it in perspective. You know, we have the 10 days of practice. It's a chance to get your team together to launch your season a little earlier than everybody else. So you look at it from a competitive standpoint and not really the educational standpoint. So he really toned it down for me. And I just really tried to carry that torch to Kathy. I'm not sure. I think it's, you know, lit pretty heavily right now. She's going to play 4 matches and 3 are going to be really, you know, intense games. And but the difference for them, though, that's a little bit different in volleyball that she told me is it's a chance. A lot of the girls will be seen for pro contracts, which that really didn't happen on our side. I mean, most of the stuff happens over here in the States with agents, and then they send you over. And I think in volleyball, it's a little bit different animal. So she's looking at it as an opportunity to showcase some of her talent and some of those kids. So the better competition she plays, the chance they'll have for a professional contract. But I tried to tell her. I'm not sure she listened.
She'll come back the same way.
No question. No question. And she's excited about her trip, I know.
Talking about your team, it's now the what they call the off season, but there really isn't one. This summer is going to provide an opportunity to get ready for 17, 18. What happens in the summertime?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because of the trip to Europe and the intensity, I think, of the season and, you know, really listening to my girls. I mean, they were pretty wore out. You know, it was a long year, and I think some of my health issues played into factor. You know, I had to sit out for a little bit there, and that's not an easy thing for kids to have to handle. So, you know, we really sat down as a group when the season was over, and I actually gave them until June. Normally we're back like May 15th when summer session 1 starts, and, you know, I gave them a few more weeks, almost a month off for them just to rejuvenate. I think we get so excited about go, go, go in our profession, but we forget that rest and recovery is just as equally as important as sometimes putting your foot on the gas and training. So to me, a happy player is a better player. And I really wanted him back on May 15th, but I also think that you have to listen to your kids and you have to trust the fact that we've got great professional people here that will get them where they have to be in the off season.
This rest and recovery concept, it's also true as a mom, you've got these youngsters who are into sports.
Yep.
And it's become very intense at a young age. So it's not only the intensity when people come for you to have them on your team, but it starts way early in life in terms of this kind of competition and you're experiencing it as a mom. So what do you think about how this rest and recovery thing should be working out as people think about developing different skills and potentially playing different sports and instead of specializing in this intensity beginning when you're so young?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough now. It's tough for, I think, a lot of parents that don't understand. If you're an athlete and you're good, you're going to be seen. You know, I think parents just get waylaid into this mentality of you have to specialize early. If you're 10 years old and you're not like in this certain camp or doing this activity and traveling with this team, you're never going to make it. And I don't think that's accurate. I mean, some of my favorite players that I've ever coached have been multi-sport athletes. I love the soccer basketball player. I think those are the toughest kids I've ever coached, kids that have a different mentality about them, played multiple sports. It is harder now. I understand that. But I have a different perspective. I really try to, as a mom, because of the coach side of me, I really try to take the pressure off my kids. You know, I mean, I want him to have fun. And the thing that I really try to teach him is to be a good teammate. I really don't care if you win or lose when you're 10 years old. I want you to play the game hard, and I want you to be a good teammate and give to your teammates. And if you do those things, I think those things carry on in life no matter what situation you're in.
So going into the new year, the talk right about this time is rules, is new rules. What's happening different? What's the court going to look like? Men have a bigger coaching box now. Obviously, they've been roaming too far. They've got to expand the box in order to accommodate that roaming. Mm-hmm. But anything in the women's game that's going to be significant?
They added that to ours too, so that's
so you can roam a little
so
bit
I can,
farther too.
Yeah,
that's good.
I guess we can roam
How
a little bit.
Does it go out to the middle of the court as well?
No, unfortunately, it's,
is there a sparring box between the coaches? You right. Can sort of have a conversation or whatever.
I know, right? There's some interesting on the women's side. You know, there was a two areas of restricted arc underneath right. there, and now it's actually just one. We went to the men's, the 4 foot. We have also now we can decide. We have the advancement rule, the NBA rule, which I love. I didn't think I would like that when it first happened, but I really do enjoy that aspect of the game. And now you can decide right away what side of the court you actually want to take it out on, which is kind of interesting concept. The thing that surprised me the most was there was no conversation about bringing the 1-and-1 back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one part of the new rules with the 4 quarters and 5 fouls that I do miss, because it's a strategic thing. You know, if you foul a very good free throw shooter, you have a chance to get the ball back, and now they're automatic 2-shot fouls no matter what. Mm-hmm. But nothing major on the women's side, really. That.
What do you think about the quarter system?
I liked it.
Did you?
I did. I did. I wasn't a big fan at first, but I think it does make the game go a little quicker. They have actually added also to the women's side, you have that 30-second timeout where if you don't use it, you lose it. Now you can carry that over. And I think they're just trying to do things that speed the game up for the fan base. They want to enjoy and see a good game, and you want it to be, you know, certainly competitive, and you don't want to have some disadvantaged situations. But I think they're trying to do things to make sure that the fans have a good experience without being there for 3 or 4 hours.
So from there, you've got the rules in play. You got your summer sort of laid out. Let's talk about the Spartans of 17-18. Mm-hmm. Expectations, what you're looking at there.
Well, everybody sees it. You know, we lost Torrey. You know, we were back-to-back years of 2 top 10 draft picks in Ariel and Torrey. And, you know, Torrey was...
They're good problems to have.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you aspire to be. You know, Torrey was... there wasn't probably a kid that wore a uniform in any sport that it meant more to be a Spartan than that kid. I mean, she loved Michigan State. And it's kind of funny because a lot of people talk to me about this next level in the WNBA. She was excited about it, but that's a byproduct. I mean, everything about that kid was her dream was to be here and wear a Spartan uniform. So she has a different, I think, perspective of the next level than most. But this upcoming season, we're going to be really, really talented. I know people really are worried about us losing back-to-back draft picks, and especially Tori, but we had a kid sitting out that was a transfer from South Carolina that's probably the best defender I've ever coached and unbelievably athletic, and she's going to be a difference maker. We have everybody back. Brandy Agee just got her sixth year approved, and she's been working really, really hard to get herself in a position because she wants to go to the next level. And then we signed a really, really talented kid. She's a top five pick in the country. She played USA basketball, has won a couple of gold medals. She's a McDonald's All-American. She was in the Jordan Classic game. She actually just got cut yesterday with the under 19. So she was a high school kid trying out against college kids, and she made it to the final cut. And not many high school kids make that team. So it was a really good experience for her to go up against high-level college athletes in our game. So she comes in, and she's Kevin Durant-like, a little more four-man than him right now. But I think eventually she'll move to that three spot. She's 6'4", and just a great kid. And then we have some other kids that were hurt that'll be healthy. So I think we're going to be really, really good, really good.
So the key will be who's going to be the clutch shooter, right?
The key will be if the coach doesn't screw him up. we will miss a little of that.
Yeah,
you know,
because Tori was sort of give me the ball, I'll handle it from here.
Yep.
And so I think the coaching challenge for when you lose a kid like that is who's going to step up? Is that by committee? Is it, you know, how do you sort of look at the psychology of the team developing with that kind of confidence in more than one person, hopefully?
Yeah. I mean, she was a dominant player. There's no question. I mean, almost a triple-double every night. And she was as consistent of a player as I've ever coached in their senior year. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, to be honest with you. I mean, she was always good for 20 and 8 and 6, 7 assists. I mean, she really was – I've never seen anybody elevate their game like that, you know, and to be that consistent. That's a hard thing to do for the youth of today is to stay persistent, to stay consistent in the way they perform. It's not easy. So we'll have to do it by committee, but I think we'll be deeper, more athletic. We'll be able to do more things.
And the Big Ten will be as competitive?
I think so. I mean, we've had some challenges lately, I think, in the Big Ten, like everyone, the Power Fives, you know, a lot of transfers. And some kids have left that have been a little bit of a surprise. But thankfully, none from Michigan State. So that's a good thing, I guess.
How challenging is that for your game to be, obviously, recruiting student-athletes to come here, prospects? You know, when you look at the men's game, there's recruiting kids to stay. And then when gaps open up, it's filling those gaps with individuals that are looking to move. Has that hit the women's game as much? And is that a challenge for you?
It has. I think if I had to say the most frustrating thing about the transfer situation on the women's side is that when the student athlete comes in and says they're struggling and want to transfer, at that point you want to sit down and have a conversation and let's open up the lines of communication. Let's get everybody involved that, you know, that helped you make this decision to come here. And by the time they come in there, there's so many people around them that have set this up. They already know where they're going. The deal's already been brokered and it's done. And that's probably the frustrating part for us as coaches is, you know, part of this is education and learning experience and getting them through some of the challenges of life and the obstacles they'll face. And nowadays, I think when transfers come in on the women's side, not only are they gone, but they know exactly where they're going and they're probably enrolled in the classes already. So that's the difficult side, I think, for me personally, because you want to help kids through processes and have some success stories that way.
Let's jump back to summer again. You've got a number of youth sports camps coming in. Is that, I know you enjoy it, but what really comes out of those camps for you when you get to see all those young kids from all over the state and really all over the country come into East Lansing?
Yeah, you know, camp takes a lot out of you. There's no question. You know, I mean, those are some long days, but just for me to see and to inspire and to have like little kids be passionate about a sport that you grew up loving and that is, you know, really made a good life for you and your family, and you have an opportunity to hopefully, you know, carry a little torch and pass it to them, and that they get inspired. And that the other part to me that's really neat is we do always do the Q&A with my players, and to hear the questions those little kids ask my girls, you know, things like, how many sports did you play? When did you decide you were going to Michigan State? What was the hardest part? You know, how many hours do you practice? All these questions that I think are really neat, you know, for my kids to have to answer. But to just see that interaction is probably one of my favorite parts of camp.
And you added to that with a program called Empower Her.
Yeah.
Talk about that just real briefly.
Yeah, that's become a pretty interesting and a pretty powerful weekend for sure. You know, it started out where we just let 150 kids in the door, and this last year we doubled it and had 150 volunteers. And there's just a real need now. It has nothing to do with sports at all. We just did it to help the youth of today, 5th to 9th grade girls, just to be more confident, to be more resilient, to handle adversity, to give back to the community. We have everything. We end the session with a community project as well locally here. So there's just a lot of positive things that come from that. But I just think the interesting thing for me was this year we added a parent session where we had a speaker talk to our parents about how we can help our kids, because I think as parents we don't all know exactly what to say anymore. The social media component has gotten, you know, to a point where it's hard as a parent to figure out exactly what to say and how to monitor that. And, you know, it's a big challenge that we didn't face growing up. So we added a parent session, and every parent was so appreciative and thankful. And it's a pretty powerful weekend, and it's definitely resonates with people.
So are you going to take your own advice and do a little bit of R&R over the summer and do some things with your family that will be fun?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I actually just took them to Orlando. I took my boys to Orlando. We do that every year in May. And just there's no better place in the world to have some fun with your kids than Orlando, with Disney and Universal and water parks. So we did that already. And, you know, now it's kind of, it's time to finish up school and try and find a weekend or two here in June where we can enjoy that before camp start.
Well, thanks for joining us. Yeah,
appreciate you.
Thanks for all you do for Michigan State. The basketball is important, but things like the Empower Her weekend, the community service that you do that people don't always see, are really part of being a Spartan. So thank you very much.
Appreciate it.